I'm glad to be saved today. I thank the Lord for that song. I feel that it is a very necessary thing in order for us to maintain our integrity with the Lord. We're going to have to surrender not just some of us, but everything. We're going to have to give our all to the Lord and then let Him utilize it in the way that He wants to utilize. And that's what we want maybe visit with you a little bit about today. We desire that you would pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. Let us turn first of all to John, the 12th chapter. We want to talk about this treasure in earthen vessels. Now, the text scripture is actually in 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, but I want to turn first of all and kind of give us a background of what, kind of lay the foundation, what the way the Lord has given it to us today. And we desire that you'd pray for us and with us as we share with you the Word of God. We're going to go to the 12th chapter of John, and we start reading at the 24th verse. He says, "Truly, truly, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. He that loveth his life shall lose it." Yes. "And he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Any man serve me, let him follow me. Where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor." So the Lord is talking here. This is Jesus Christ speaking, and He's really speaking about His hour of death. He realizes that He is going to have to die. He's going to have to go to the cross. And when He's talking about except a corn of wheat fall in the ground and die, it abideth alone, He's in one sense talking about Himself, but in another sense He's talking about you and I. And that's what I want to talk about today. When we deal with people, and we know folks, and all of us are, we live in a society, we're social beings, and what that really means is none of us liveth unto ourselves. So in other words, we depend on other people. The food that we get on a daily basis is not because we have a garden and we grow all of our food. That's not why we get it. Somebody else does. So we are social beings, right? The clothes that we have on our back, most of us don't sew. Most of us, it comes from some other person, and we have to have these kinds of people that are the talents, the things that they're good at, these particular things that is what they're doing, and as a result, we are benefited by those. When we're in a hard place, when there is a need for us to have somebody to comfort us, we go to people. It's not that we want to be by ourselves all the time, but when we're going through hard places, we want somebody to be able to go through those places with us. And we don't want somebody to be able to say, to give us some level of comfort. And this often comes from within. That what that person has on the inside flows out. And that is how they're able to minister unto us. Do you realize that that's the ministry that the Lord is talking about here? When He says here, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. If you are, I'll use this as an example. I have pecan trees and in our yard. And one of the things that I noticed, I hadn't known, never knew this prior to having lived where we live. We get so many pecans that it just is not feasible for us to pick every one of them up. 30 trees, you're not going to pick all the pecans up, right? So as a result, what happens is you've got a flower bed there and it's nice, fertile soil. And the pecans fall there and the squirrels sometime. We got squirrels and the squirrels come in and they dig a little hole and they bury the pecans. Then the rain comes. And before you know it, you've got pecan trees sprouting all over the place. And so I was curious about it. I pulled one up, and what I saw here was is very interesting in what I saw. It wasn't so much that the whole shell just deteriorated. That's not what happened. But what happens, we have a pecan that's like this. Oh, just for the sake, I'm not going to try to do my artistic ability here today, but you'll be able to understand. But what happens is when the water and the sun and the elements get to this pecan, what happens is there is a root that it cracks open. The whole thing doesn't just deteriorate. That's why I say it. So the shell is still intact and it's still hard. But what happens here, there's a crack, a little crack, and down here a root begins to grow down into the soil, and it grows quite deep. It's very difficult to pull them up once you see the stem begin to come up. And up on this part, there is a leaf, and you begin to see that this thing is, what has taken place is this thing has died. And what has happened is what's on the inside begins to come out, and what's on the inside is really where the value is, right? The value is not in the outer shell. This is not the value. It is just there to protect what's on the inside for now. But at some point, in order for that to bring life to anybody, to the squirrels, to you and I, those of us that use these, that eat these things, then what happens is this outer shell has to be broken, and the root has to go down, and the stem has to go up. And that's what's value. So what I want us to understand as we go into this lesson is that the value is not in the outside. The value is what's on the inside. All right? So he says, "What's when a corn of wheat falls into the ground and dies, it abides alone." Now what that literally means is that this one seed, this represents a seed, and this one seed has the ability to literally feed the whole world. Literally. Within this seed is enough nourishment that if you allow the root to go down and you allow the stem to grow up and it grows into a tree, you can take that tree and you can take the fruit from that tree and you can feed the whole world with it. You can plant another one. You can plant another one. You can plant millions and thousands, thousands and millions of them, and as a result, the whole world can be fed as a result of that. When we look at Jesus Christ, had He not died, had He not gone to the cross, He would have abided alone. But what enabled Him, He said, when I go away, I'm going to send the Comforter. And when He died and was buried and was resurrected, what happened is the seed of that thing, the seed of Christ, Him allowing Himself to die, Him allowing Himself to be brutalized in the way that He was, it enabled you and me to experience salvation. So in the seed of Christ's death, in His death, this is what He's talking about here when He says, except a corn of wheat falleth into the ground, if I refuse to die, then there is no hope for mankind. Is in essence what He's saying. There's no hope for you that somebody is going to be able to come and save you from your sins. But as a result of His death, except I die and I'm buried and I'm resurrected, then you have no hope. And aren't you glad that Jesus Christ died for you, and He died for me. And as a result of that, I can have the life of Christ in me, you can have the life of Christ in you, and the whole world can be fed with the life of Christ simply because one man died for the sins of the whole world. Isn't that wonderful? I thank the Lord for that. You know what I thank the Lord? Do you ever sit down and think about how wonderful it is not to have to commit sin more or less every day? I'm thankful for that. Because I was a sinner once. And I had the couldn't help it. But the Lord saved me, and I'm thankful for that. And the life that I have now is much better than anything that I could have had out in sin. Now, does that mean I don't have problems? All right? I do, don't I? So here, I'm laying the foundation here. So here, what happens is this seed is covered up. It's covered up with dirt. And out of that dirt, there's something that happens, and water has to come. You can put it in dirt, but if you don't have moisture, it's not going to work, is it? And so do you know what this represents? Just think about dirt. Let me say it like this for a moment, if you'll follow me here. This dirt, there are things that happen to us that we don't want to happen to us, right? There are things that cover up, so to speak, that it seems like, Lord, the things that I want to happen to me, they're not happening, and the things that I don't want to happen to me, they are happening to me. And so what the Lord is doing when He allows these things to happen to us is it's like He's putting the dirt over the seed. Because He's saying to you and me, that you're of no benefit to me as long as you're hardened on the outside. as long as there's not a softness, as long as there is not a breaking and an opening where I can actually get to what's what I put on the inside and you're able to blossom into what I created you to be. And so the Lord allows these things to happen to us that are not so wonderful. And He allows the pain of rain. You know, all of us, we've gone through this kind of a drought season the last couple of years. And you know, when we saw the rain the other day, nobody complained about it, did we? Nobody complains about the rain. And the reason we don't complain about the rain is because it's one of the necessary things that we have. This water is, you would die if you didn't have it. All right? It's one of the most important things. You could live longer without food than you can without water. All right? Your body is made up of a great deal of water, 80% or something like that. I don't know the true details. But what I'm saying here is the Lord allows this trials, the water, the rain, the things that we, even though we appreciate the rain, we didn't go and stand out in it, did we? Most of us, when we find the rain, when the rain comes, we run someplace to safety. And what happens is the moisture comes in and it softens the outer shell and it allows for the roots to go down and for the branch to come up. And it happens the same way with the spiritually speaking. Now, I want to go to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter. And I want us to read starting at the 7th verse.
2 Corinthians 4:7.
Yes.
But we have this treasure
in earthen vessels. Excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. All right. Now, one of the things that he's saying here, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. So what he's saying here is that we have the ability and the potential. All of us are given a little bit of God inside of us when we're born. The life that we have is the life of God. The only way that there can be life is that this life is God life. All right, so we have this treasure of life in earthen vessels. All right, so God gave you life. He gave me life. He gave all of us life. And we're to utilize and use that life in the way that God wants us to for the furtherance of His kingdom. So this is the treasure. It's a great treasure. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. This body, body of clay, we have the treasure of God. And let me tell you, is it more important the life that's inside or is it more important what's on the outside? We all know that it's more important what we have on the inside, right? Then why do we spend so much time on this outward man? When the treasure is not on the outside, we doll ourselves up, and I'm not against that. We're to look nice. The Lord doesn't want us just to go and look in any old kind of a way. But most people, a good majority of the people that you know and that I know, spend more time on their outward form than they do on their inner man. Lord, have mercy on us. Rather than making certain that everything is right before you go out into public, some folks will not go out to public if they just look in any old kind of way. Have you ever heard somebody, I'm not going out. Can you run to the store? You look all right. No, I'm not going out like this unless I get dressed. Now, I'm not against that. I'm not necessarily against that. It can go overboard. But I'm not necessarily against you dressing up before you run out. But what about when it's time for you to go to work and you know you're not prayed up? You know that you don't have what you need on the inside to be able to deal with the folks that you're having to deal with. You know, folks are more concerned about what they look like on the outside than what they look like on the inside. But the scripture here says, we have this treasure in earthen vessels. And what the Lord wants us to understand is, what is not so important is this outer man. It's not as important as what's on the inside. Lord, help us. All right, continue to read. That the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. We are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. Now this is the dirt that we're talking about. If you can allow me to use that. Troubles happen, don't they? And when you go through troubles, what happens when you're going through troubles? You have to deal with it in some kind of a way, don't you? troubles and problems and situations of life, the Lord is not, none of us are exempt from it. The Lord's not going to let us be exempt from it. All right? Read. I'm not distressed about it. We're perplexed. Have you ever been in a situation that you're just a perplexed situation? I don't know. Lord, what are you trying to do? What are you trying to say to me in this situation? And the Lord is trying to say, listen, you're concerned so much about what you look like on the outside, but I'm trying to get something over to you, spiritually speaking. I'm trying to get something over to you in the depths of your soul. I want you to realize that that's not what, the outer man is not what's important. What's happening to you on the outside is not important, but what's important is whether or not you're allowing these things to work for your good. All right, so he says, I'm perplexed, but I'm not in despair. Do you know the only reason that he can say this is this man is understanding. Paul here is understanding the importance of allowing the things that happen, the perplexing things in our lives. He understands the importance of allowing them to work some good down in his soul. Just like you and I have to understand that this is eternal. This is not just something that I'm getting just for now, but this is an eternal thing here. All right? Persecuted, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. So in other words, we're going to go through some persecutions. We're going to go through some things that folks are going to talk about us. And we don't like that. Nobody wants anybody to talk about them, do they? I don't want anybody to talk about me, but do you suppose that I'm exempt from it and folks haven't talked about me before? Do you know what I want? I believe I can live a life where God doesn't talk about me. I believe I can live a life that, like Job, where the Scripture says, the Lord testified for Job. And the Lord said, have you considered my servant Job? You can live that kind of a life. The persons that are closest to you may not appreciate what your stand is and what you're doing, but God will appreciate it. Saints, that's what we need. We need to understand that. We're troubled on every side, not distressed. We're perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, not forsaken, cast down, but not destroyed. Always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our body. So in essence, what he's saying here is that these things happen to us for a reason. The Lord allows these things to happen to us for a reason, because what we have locked inside of us is a treasure in this earthen vessel, and God is saying that you need to be a blessing to the world. You need to be a light to the world. You need to be a blessing to your neighborhood, to your job. And so I'm going to take you through some perplexing things, and I want you to allow those things to work for your good. Because what you have as a child of God is the life of Christ in you. Just like this seed has the life inside of it. And let me tell you, you can live a long time on some pecans, on the seed. Most of the things that we eat, a good majority of the things that we eat are seeds, aren't they? And we get nourishment from it. But here, what I want us to understand here is that what the Lord is saying, all these things that are happening to you, maybe you don't understand them, maybe they are perplexing, maybe they're not fair in life, but the Lord is saying, I'm trying to get something over to you but that you can understand that there's life in you, and the only way for me to get it out is to break the outer shell, to break that man, to make you what I want you to be, not what you want to be, but what I want you to be. All right? So, how do you break something? You know, you get a hammer. A pecan has a pretty tough shell. I wouldn't suggest you taking some pecans and taking your teeth and clamping down on it. It's not a good idea. Your teeth are worth more than that. But you can get a rock, put a couple of them in your hand. And most men can do that. Put a couple of them in your hand and break them together. But it's something that's going to happen, right? But in order for me to get the benefit of it, I'm not going to throw it all in my mouth and just start chewing it either, am I? In order for me to get the benefit out of it, I've got to break it first, right? Now, do you suppose that the Lord is saying the same thing? This is what this Scripture is talking about. We have this treasure. The treasure of the life of Christ in earthen vessels. And the Lord says the way for that life to spill out is for it to be broken and for you to realize that shell, you know, some folks can get to be very hard-hearted. Some of the trials and tests of life can make us very cynical about things, about life in general. And so what we could do, we could put up our defenses. And we can begin to allow this shell to grow around us. And we are of no benefit to anybody, much less the people of God, much less the world. And so the Lord is saying, listen, I'm not sending those trials to you to make it where you just make to make it hard for you. I'm sending those trials your way, those perplexities, those areas in your life that you are persecuted, and those troubles and those problems, I'm sending them so that we can split open your defenses. And you can put your defenses down and allow the Lord to use you and to utilize the life that is within you. Do you understand what I'm saying? All right. So he says, and always bearing about in the body the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in our bodies. For we which live are always delivered unto death for Jesus' sake. For whose sake? All right, now I want us to go back to what we talked about earlier. When we said here, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abides alone. But if it dies, it bringeth forth much fruit. And so here is the same scenario here, the sin always bearing about in the body, in my body, in your body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest in my body. So I have to do what Jesus did. I have to allow the persecutions and the troubles and the cross that I have to bear on a daily basis, I have to allow that to work so that I can be broken and I can be used of the Lord in a greater way. Because when I'm used of the Lord, then that means that I am a benefit not only to those that are close around me, but I'm a benefit to the world, even though the world may not know it. And why do I say it like that? The reason I say it like that is because I'm praying for the world. I'm praying for Barack Obama. He doesn't even know that. He doesn't even know my name. I'm praying for the folks in Syria, and they don't even know I exist. We're praying for the people in India, in China, in the different places. And so that what happens is, when I am not so consumed with myself and my problems and my issues of life, then I have what it takes to be able to pray for somebody else's problems. The trouble that's all around me, I can pray for that trouble because I'm not consumed. But when that shell is not broken, when that outer man is not broken, when I am still concerned about me and all my world consists of who I am and trying to get out of the problems and why me, Lord, why me? When I'm that kind of an individual, I'm not much of a help to anybody, am I? But when I say, Lord, I know I'm in trouble. I know I have problems. I know these things that I'm going through. Lord, they're not easy. But Lord, if you'll give me the grace, I'll go through them like you want me to go through them. And when I do that, something begins to work, doesn't it? Something begins to work inside of me. And that life, that little part of Jesus that's in there that I was born with. I begin to let it grow. Because I begin to allow these things that are happening to me, I begin to allow them to work for my good. Now, I'm going to tell you what will happen. I've taken those little things, and sometimes they're in places that I don't want them to be in, right? I don't want a pecan tree to grow up against the foundation of my house. It's not a good idea. So I've taken and I've tried to pull it, and what I pulled off is this little part right here, but the root is still there. Do you know what's going to happen? It's going to grow back. And so what has to happen, you got to go down and get the whole thing out, right? All right, so in the same way, what we have to understand is this right here, this little thing right here is a result of what's on the inside. This branch that's shooting up is a result of what was on the inside of this, the life that was on the inside of this seed. All right? Now, let's go a little further. There are some other points that we want to bring out here. So then, death worketh in us, but life in you. We having the Spirit, same Spirit of faith, according as it is written, I believed. Is this where I... Read for us, Kim. Sister Kim. Yes? We also believe and therefore speak. Knowing that he that raised up the Lord Jesus shall raise us up also by Jesus and shall present us with you. Isn't that wonderful? We're not going to stay dead. Sometimes we feel like, Lord, why? You know, I'm pretty good at this and I'm pretty good at that, and I just don't seem like I have the wherewithal to be able to express myself and to be able, I have no venue from which to express myself. And so consequently, I'm going to leave this place and I'm going to go here because I have to be able to express myself. And do you know what happens here? I think what's a very important point, I've heard of people saying, you know what, Brother Darrell or some brother so-and-so didn't let me preach, so I'm leaving that church and I'm going to another church where I can preach. And I can do what I feel like the Lord would have me to do. All right? And so they get upset because the Lord has put his hand on them for a space of time. But do you know what? If you plant a garden, if you plant any kind of seed, you plant, what happens? Literally. You dig a hole in the dirt and you cover it up. And for a space of time, nothing seems to be happening. Nobody sees it. Nobody is concerned that it's there. Nobody knows it's there. No matter how important it is and how much it's going to feed the world, it has to go in hiding for a space of time before it can ever be of any benefit. There has to be a death. So this is a type of the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Let me tell you, when Jesus was able to be to go out into all the world, it wasn't out until he died. And let me tell you, you don't have, I don't have, none of us has what Jesus had. None of us has the ability that Jesus had. But Jesus died. All the ability that he had would have appeared that it died with him, right? All the preaching that he did, all the teaching that he did, it died with him. And it was buried and it was covered up for 3 days. Nobody, the folks just had no hope that anything was going to come of it. But let me tell you what happened. After the third day, he rose again, didn't he? There was life. And in the same way, if there are those of you that feel like the Lord, that you're being hindered and the Lord's, you're not able to be used by the Lord in the way that the Lord wants you to be used, let me tell you, did you die first? Are you willing to be buried for 3 days? Are you willing to just stay there and not move and allow all of the things that are working seemingly against you? The persecutions. All the troubles. All the things, the despair, all these, the perplexities of life. All these things that seem to be working against you are not working against you. They're not. Let's continue to read. Yes. For all things are for your sake, that the abundant grace, which might through the thanksgiving of many, redound to the glory of God. Yes. For which cause we faint not. For though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. The outward man is going to perish. I am older than I was 30 years ago. I've got more wrinkles and less hair than I did 30 years ago. There are some things that I cannot do today that I could do 30 years ago, and I'm coming to understand that in a greater way. My mind may still work the same way, but though the outward man perish, the inward man is renewed day by day. Have you ever thought about why the older people get, it seems like the more spiritual they get? Have you ever noticed that? Have you ever noticed what kind of a battle it was when you were in your teens and 20s and 30s to really get down and be spiritual with the Lord? But as you got older, it seems like the ones that we really have a level of appreciation for is the older ones. You know why? Because that outward man, they've come to understand that it's not nearly as important as I used to think it was. I'm not. When you get older, you're generally not as cute as you were when you were younger, right? So you can dolly all up you as you want to in the mirror, but it still is not going to take the droops away, the bags under your eyes. And so what happens, there is a change that happens on the inside. We begin to accept it, don't we? We begin to say, you know what, I'm just getting old. That's just, this gray hair, you can get Miss Claire all and all the other kind of things, you know. The thought comes to us from time to time. Well, you know what? I looked in the mirror. I did. I thought about other people. Now, my brother is older than I am, probably nine years older than I am, at least. And he come to visit us, and I hadn't seen him for a while, for a few years, and he had a head full of black hair. A head full of black hair. Head full. And he's almost 10 years older than I am, and I was wondering, how did you do that? And he was telling me, well, you can go to the dollar store. And you get a little bottle of stuff like about this big, and you do it every other week. And I, you know, the thought comes to my mind, well, you're almost looking younger than I am. And so the thought comes to my mind, you go get you a little bottle of that stuff and throw it around in your hair. But then, you know, I thought, look, I'm just old. I'm just getting old. And this is, I am what I am. This is who I am. So what's the point in going and getting some dye and trying to make myself hold on to this youth? So you come to the understanding that it's okay to get old. That this outer man is going to perish. And so you begin to take less, what's the word? You're not as concerned. You're not as concerned about how it looks. What you're more concerned about is what's on the inside. And so though the outward man perish, the inward man, this root is growing deeper and deeper and deeper. And you become, what happens over a period of time, you become this giant in the things of God. Why? Because you let the root go down and you let the branches go up. You were willing to die. You were willing to stay in that place of death. That tree has to stay there in order for it to bring forth any kind of benefit to anybody, right? When you push it down, it begins to die in a different way. But as long as it stays down and allows itself to stay in the grave, so to speak, and the roots to go down, that's where its life is. That's where your life is. That's where my life is. My life and your life is in the life of Christ. For which cause we faint not, but though our outward man perish, yet the inward man is renewed day by day. For our light affliction, which is but for a moment, worketh for us a far and exceeding and eternal weight of glory, while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. For the things which are seen are temporal, but the things which are not seen, those things are eternal. That's what we're looking at, saints. That's what we're looking at, folks. You are going to live in eternity somewhere. Forever. I am going to exist forever. No matter if I wanted to or not, I am going to exist forever. And what the Lord intended, and I appreciate what was brought out in Sunday school, He said, everybody can live saved if they want to. The Lord has given us the birthright, the seed of Himself. And all we have to do is allow that seed is constantly trying to find its life, and it's constantly trying to find a way to live. And the Lord deals with us, and He talks to us, and He addresses certain concerns about us, things that are actually cutting off the life of Christ in us. The sin that so easily besets us, He deals with us about those things, doesn't He? And those things will cut off the life of Christ that is in us if we allow it to. But He says, I'm not going to look at the things that are seen. I'm not going to look at those things. But I'm looking at the things which are not seen. Our light afflictions, all of these persecutions that He was talking about, all of these troubles, all of these perplexities, all of these things that we're going through, are light afflictions, and they're but for a moment. But they work for us. I like that word, work. You know how the Scripture says in Romans, it says, for we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. All these things work for us. They're our employees. They're doing something for us. And they're working an exceeding and eternal weight of glory while we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen. The things that are seen are temporal, but the things that are not seen are eternal. Let's turn to Mark 14 and verse 3. Yes. As he sat at meat, there came a woman that had an alabaster box of ointment, a spikenard, very precious. She broke the box and poured it on his head. Some that had indignation of themselves, and they said, why was this waste of the ointment made? For it might have been sold for more than 300 pence and have been given to the poor. And they murmured against her. And Jesus said, let her alone. Why trouble ye her? She has wrought a good work on me. For ye have the poor with you always, and whensoever ye will, ye may do them good. Me ye have not always. She has done what she could. She has come aforehand to anoint my body to the burying. Verily I say unto you, wheresoever this gospel shall be preached throughout the whole world, this also that she hath done shall be spoken of for her, for a memorial of her. All right, so here is a situation that a woman comes in there, and this is a woman that the Lord had saved from a deep sin. And she has a alabaster box of ointment, of spikenard, very precious, and she break the box. Now, what was precious? Was the box what was precious? Or was it the ointment that was precious? It was the ointment. It was pure. It is representative of what we have within us. It's representative of the Holy Spirit, oil of the Spirit. And what he wanted us to understand here is it's not the box that's what's of great importance. It's not the outer shell. It's not what's on the outside. It's what's on the inside. And so here what happens is when this woman began to break it and to pour it out to the Lord, this is my offering to you. I know it's very valuable. It's valuable to me. But the most valuable thing is not for me to sell it and give the money to the poor, like everybody has opinions about. But it is for me to take what you've given me, what I have, is mine. And I can do whatever I want to with it. I can give it to the poor, I can give it to that person or another, but I want to give it to the Lord. I sacrifice this to the Lord. Do you realize that which you have, which is valuable, our responsibility is to give it to the Lord? Who I am, my abilities, my intellect, all the things that I have that are important to me, that are valuable to me, my talents, my time, those things I'm willing to pour out to the Lord and give to Him because it's He that gave it to me. All right, so let us understand that. What we tend to do is to say that which is on the outside is what's of great importance, but it's not, saints. You, your body is not nearly as important as your spirit. Your body is going to die. It is already deteriorating. It's already going back to the dust. The moment we're born, it begins to decay. It's already going back. So what the most important thing for us to do is to give it to the Lord. Now, everybody's going to have an opinion about what you do. Folks are going to say, well, you know what? You can be a Christian, but you ain't got to be a Christian like that. What a waste. You know what? He could have been a professional. I know folks that could have been professional football players, baseball players. Professional in a whole lot of things, but they chose to pour out their talents to the Lord. And folks look at him and they say, you know what? What a waste. The potential that he had. The potential that she had. And you know what? What are they? Lowly saints of God. Nobody knows their name, but we poured it out to the Lord. What was important was not that the world knows and I give it to the world. I give what I have to the world. But what the world doesn't understand is I am giving what I have to the world. But I have to give it to the Lord first. All right? You with me so far? All right, we're moving toward our conclusion. We appreciate your patience. Let's go to Luke, the 9th chapter, 23rd verse.
He said to them all,
if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily and follow me.
Whosoever will save his life shall lose it.
But whosoever will lose his life for my sake, the same shall save it.
What is a man advantage if he gain the whole world and lose himself or be cast away?
So if any man will come after me, let him do what? Deny himself. Let him die to himself. And let him take up his cross. What is a cross for? A cross is, I've said it before, if a cross does its job, it kills us. That's the purpose of it. Have you ever been in a situation that you feel like, oh, I'm about to die. If this thing goes on any longer, I'm about to die. Well, that's the whole point. The cross is to die so that the life of Christ can come forth. If there is not a death, there can be no resurrection. So you have to die. Except a corn of wheat fall into ground and die, it abides alone. So what this tells us, it says, take up your cross daily and follow me. So what that means is I've got to follow the Lord every day, right? And I've got to take up my cross every day, right? And so if that means I have to take up my cross every day, that means I have to die on that cross every day. And if I don't die on that cross every day, more than I am going to know it. Do you know what the problem is with the world today? Too many Christians they pick up their cross, but they don't die on it. A little bit in Sunday school this morning, where it says, have you ever been in a situation you say, I'm not taking that. Those folks ain't going to do that to me. Have you ever been there? Do you know sometimes the Lord wants those folks to do it to you? And he wants you to die to it? And at that point, we can be beneficial to the Lord. All right. 1 Corinthians 15 and 31. Have you ever also noticed people that have gone through some very tough situations, the spiritual wealth that they come out with? And I believe that that's what the Lord is wanting to get to us. 1 Corinthians 15, 31. Read it, please.
I protest by your rejoicing.
I have in Christ Jesus our Lord. I die every day. 2 Timothy 2, verse 19. Closing.
Nevertheless,
the foundation of God standeth sure. Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Continue. In a great house, there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, some to honor, some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared for every good work. All right, prepared unto every good work. So a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use. It means it comes up to the standard for the master's use. Now, Lord is not going to use everybody. He's not so desperate that he has to use just anybody. So that's why you see in some places that there are, or some positions should be filled and they're not filled because people don't qualify themselves. And one way to qualify ourselves is to allow ourselves to die to who we are, who we think we are, and to embrace who the Lord wants us to be. So it says here that this, a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, that it rises to the occasions for that the Lord is able to use it and prepare it unto every good work. May the Lord help us. Let's read in closing the 2 Corinthians, go back to 2 Corinthians, the 4th chapter, 7th verse. We have this treasure in earthen vessels. The excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Pray for me.